Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church on this lovely, sunny, yet frosty day. Just a couple of things to share before we begin on the subject of vestry. Yes, it is coming up. The diocese just this week has advised us that all vestry meetings will be in an online format. So we still have some plans to make, but the date is chosen. It will be on Sunday, February the 6th. The time to be announced, we will most likely do the service in person for those who wish at 10:30. And then we will, following that, work our way through to the vestry meeting. My guess is that it'll likely be 1 o'clock, somewhere around there. Just that allows us all to be at home and get comfortable, and then the meeting will take place. So that's coming up on the 6th of February. If you normally write a report for vestry, please start working on that. Rebecca would like to have the reports into the office as soon as possible so we can begin to prepare the vestry report so you can all read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest all of the interesting things that you need to know before we have our annual meeting. It's good to have Hannah with us today. It has been a while. The way it was set up and a series of unfortunate circumstances have meant it hasn't worked this way is that Hannah is always supposed to be with us on the third Sunday of the month and anytime there is a fifth Sunday of the month. So Hannah will be with us today and then in 2 weeks. And she also continues her ministry with the folks at Oneida Muncie as well. I'm saddened to report to you the passing of Jean Beasley in her 104th year. I guess you could say she was a senior member of the congregation. I don't have a whole lot of details, suggestion that there will be a celebration of life sometime in the future. And because Hannah is preaching and celebrating today, I'm all done. I get to be like you and enjoy the service.
Let's pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all and also with you. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Sing, O Lord, let love be best in us.
Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. May your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And I would invite you to be seated as we listen to the first reading.
A reading from the first book of Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing, there were 6 stone jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each one holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So the wedding at Cana is an interesting gospel, and it's one that I think a lot of people know rather well, the idea of the water into wine. At least most people remember that part of it. And for me, I have a lot of different associations with it. Most recently, a very beautiful wedding that I got to officiate, that I was quite honored to be at, included this reading. And there's lots written about the wedding at Cana, the symbols of the water and the wine and the abundance of God's love and new life. And that's what most people think about when they think about this first miracle of Jesus. They hear about the turning of the water into the best wine, this overabundance of it, and say, that's what this is all about. This gospel is about abundance, the overflowing nature of God's love for us, the miracle of abundant new life. And yes, it is, but I think there's also something important in this gospel about what it tells us about the context of ministry. Now, what do I mean by that? So let's think through this a little bit. We're here in Cana, and Jesus has accompanied his mom to a wedding. Maybe he's excited to be there, maybe he knows the couple, maybe they're friends, or maybe he's just tagging along because his dad is busy. We don't really know. But what we do know from this charming little vignette between Jesus and his mom is that Jesus isn't really thinking about his mission at the moment. He's not in the Son of God mode. He's just hanging out as Jesus, Mary's son, and the carpenter. And that's really interesting, because this is the first sign in the Gospel of John, and that's really important. It's the first moment that people recognize this power of Jesus, his ability to turn water into wine, showing his divine nature. But it's not planned. This isn't some big showy moment. Jesus doesn't burst into the sick room of someone and raise the dead. He's just at a wedding. And his mom kind of nags him into helping. And that's what I love so much about this gospel reading, is that Jesus' first miracle actually happens because Mary tells him to do it. There's no doves descending, there's no beam of light or voice from the sky. His mom nudges him and tells him he should help out. And what better example for what ministry is really all about? Because here's the secret. I come here on a Sunday morning and I put on my stole and my vestments and I stand up here and I talk to you about the gospel. But the work of the gospel is really out there on a Monday morning at the grocery store, or Wednesday afternoon at the mall, or Friday night out at dinner. I have prayed with the girl who sold me shoes for the dog that she lost. I've talked to the stylist at my spa about her faith questions. I counseled the man who did my tattoo about his relationship with his brother. I've led evening prayer for a group of young men that I play online video games with on Discord. I've talked for hours to people in all kinds of places in their spiritual journey through social media, some I just met for that brief moment of time, and that's kind of the point of this. The gospel works itself out in the real world. The Spirit sparks even in tiny, seemingly inconsequential moments, and that's really what we are called to. We would all like to think that our mission, our ministry, will show up in a big way. We'll have some clarifying epiphany, and we'll learn how to reach out to dozens of people or hundreds of people. We'll throw some big event that will draw everyone in. And yes, sometimes that's what will happen, but more often than not, our ministry is going to be played out in small ways. In places we don't expect to be doing anything. A friendly conversation with someone who's in need, a helping hand to a stranger, that small gesture of hope, that tiny flash of joy. The symbol of God's abundant love is displayed here against the relative mundanity of a wedding. A celebration of joy, sure, but it's not the place you'd necessarily expect a great miracle to happen. It is marked by the wonderfully normal conversation between a mother and a child. Jesus performs his first miracle not because there's some great catastrophe or some great event, but because his mother sees a need. God's abundant love rains down in moments of huge and painful grief and suffering, but it is equally great in moments of simple sorrow and unexpected circumstances. And I think that's really an important part of this story. Because we have the whole gospel to tell us about the abundance of God's love, how great his compassion is for us. We just barely left the Christmas season, the time when we celebrate how much God loved the world, that he gave us his son. But this story tells us that it's not just big moments, that it's not just this elaborate Sunday morning show. This gospel tells us that God shows up all the time. And so can we. Because that is our mission too. To show up with abundant love and joy, to recognize those unexpected places where we can let the Spirit fly, to be prepared to step in and step up when the world needs us, to take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. That miracle lives in all of us. We may not be able to turn water into wine, but we can turn a shopping trip into a healing moment. We can turn a simple conversation into an instance of hope. We can turn a few compassionate words into a catalyst for transformation. And we can turn the scarcity of justice and reconciliation in the world to abundant mercy and grace. I know that sounds like a lot, my dear friends in Christ. I know that. But it's here. All of our hours have come to do what he says, to fill our hearts with love and to go out into the world. To be abundant, to be new, and to be that miracle of the extraordinary in the ordinary. Amen. And I will invite you to stand as you are able, and let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I will invite you to take a position of prayer, either standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Drawn by God's love and constant faithfulness to us, let us pray. We pray for all those who would love to believe, but cannot yet trust in the living God. We pray for those who have rejected God because of the unloving behavior of his followers. Fill us, Lord. Fill us to the brim. We pray for all those who give orders and have influence over other people. We pray that all peoples may be led justly and with sensitivity. Fill us, Lord. Fill us to the brim. We pray for all our relationships which need our transforming love. We pray for those we irritate and upset, and those who have hurt us and upset us. Fill us, Lord. Fill us to the brim. We pray for those whose lives feel empty and lacking real meaning. We pray for those whose frailty, pain, or illness makes it difficult to pray. For those in our own parish, Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Anna Woodson, Diane Fuster, Sylvia Brightwell, and Chris Briglia. Fill us, Lord. Fill us to the brim. We pray for those who are dying and those who have completed their life on earth, that they may be brought to peace and everlasting joy. May Jean Beasley rest in peace. Fill us, Lord. Fill us to the brim. We thank you for all the joys of loving relationships, all the friendships we share, and the love we are enabled to give. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now I would invite you all to, with a wave or some other socially distanced symbol, share the peace. Peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Living God, you have revealed your Son as the Messiah. May we hear his word and follow it and live as children of light. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being.
Glory to you forever and ever.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turn against you and betray your trust, and we turn against one another. Again and again, you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages, you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born to a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Glory to you forever and ever.
Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension, and we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made new people by water and the Spirit now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all.
Glory to you forever and ever. Amen.
Now, as our Father taught us, so we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Glory of God, you nourish us with bread from heaven. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that through us your light may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.